Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
2022, one of the benchmark years for horror movies. Lots of hopes that 2023 is going to be the same. And to kick it off, one of the first movies is Megan. I'm here with Jesse and Dave to review it. We also have Jade from Agents of Fandom to help us talk about this movie. Did we like it? Did we hate it? Or should it be dismantled? Right now on Hometown Ghost Stories. All right, we are all here ready to talk about this movie about a killer American brat slash Barbie slash, you know, Chucky. There's like this gigantic hybrid of things going on with this doll movie. And to do that, like I said in the opening, we brought on Jade from Agents of Fandom. Jade, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
I know you said that, like, when we were talking about which movie to do, you were like, have you seen Megan yet? I have thoughts. And I was like, okay, well, this is clearly the movie we need to do then. So we're going to be talking about Megan. As always, I'm also joined by Dave Wilkins.
What's going on? I saw this movie like less than 24 hours ago.
Then it's fresh in your mind.
It is fresh.
I'm also joined by Jesse Wilkins, as always.
Yes, I also watched it less than 24 hours ago. And thanks to me, Dave woke back up to continue watching the movie. We watched it in Discord together so I could see him sleeping. I was like, Dave, no! No, we're losing him!
And that doesn't mean a movie's good or bad. This is a classic Dave trope.
I'm a narcoleptic.
Dave will fall asleep. Yeah.
Undiagnosed.
Yeah. We used to go to the movies, Jade, and he would fall asleep in the movie theater. And we don't go to the movies together anymore because I don't like to be embarrassed.
That's fair.
It's dark. Nobody can see.
Dave would drive, also dangerous. People driving.
I like that you're throwing Dave under the bus for that when you used to do it all the time on the way home from the casino.
But this is because you'd make me drive. We don't have to talk about it.
All right. Well, let's get into this movie. Dave, do you have the synopsis for this movie?
Yes, I do. Megan, 2023, directed by Gerard Johnstone. Megan is a marvel of artificial intelligence. A lifelike doll that's programmed to be a child's greatest companion and a parent's greatest ally. Designed by Gemma, a brilliant roboticist, Megan can listen, watch, and learn as it plays the role of a friend and teacher, playmate, and protector. When Gemma becomes the unexpected caretaker of her 8-year-old niece, she decides to give the girl a Megan prototype, a decision that leads to unimaginable consequences.
First thing I want to ask everybody, I see this name a lot in movies and television shows. Have any of you ever met a Gemma in real life? Is this a thing that happens?
No, I don't think so.
Not in real life.
Right? It does sound familiar, but I think it's only familiar because of movies and shows.
So yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy, I think.
Yeah. Nobody's ever met a Gemma in their life, but we can talk about the movie now.
That's fine. So I didn't have high expectations for this movie for a few different reasons. Number one, PG-13 slasher doesn't work for me ever. I don't think I've ever given a high rating to a PG-13 slasher because, I mean, it's just for obvious reasons. It doesn't work. It's never worked. I also didn't have high expectations because I feel like movies that come out, or horror movies that come out in January, usually are not good historically. So those two things. And Jason Blum, I'm not a big fan of a lot of his movies. His movies are almost always bad. He's got a few good ones, but they're, I think, more bad than good. So these three things, I was like, I'm not going to like this movie. But I watched it and I actually did have fun watching it. It was a fun movie. There was a lot of interesting aspects to it. There was a lot of also predictable aspects on the negative side. But for the most part, I mean, I had fun. I was a little bit surprised. It was a little better than I thought it was going to be. But there were obviously some things that were very wrong with it.
All right, Jade, we know you have some thoughts. So I want you to start unloading the clip on this movie.
Yeah. So for me, I also didn't really have high expectations going in, but I did have some expectations. I figured it was going to be just a silly slasher where there's a killer doll where, you know, we've heard this story time and time again, a killer doll on the loose, just wreaking havoc on a city. And I was hoping for a lot more. I think I was really hoping for a lot, like a higher body count. I was kind of ready for these, like, just wild kills, maybe not necessarily like a lot of gore because it is PG-13, but I was expecting like just some off the wall, balls to the wall kills, crazy storyline, you know what I mean? Not anything particularly good, that's like necessarily cinematically, but I was really expecting a lot more. I personally didn't really have that much fun watching it, and that was what hurt me the most, I think.
That's fair. But I mean, for me, going into it with the PG-13 rating, I was not expecting any crazy kills. So my mm-hmm. expectations were already on the floor. Mm-hmm. So there weren't a lot of kills, but I wasn't expecting it. So it was kind of, I thought it was a little bit fun watching it. I had a good, I liked the sci-fi angle. I liked the AI angle, you know, more. They did that in the Chucky remake, the Child's mm-hmm. Play remake, didn't they? So,
yeah.
But yeah, this was definitely not an original movie. It was kind of like Child's Play meets Terminator, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Meets Iron concept. Man and a couple others. I thought it was solid. I mean, again, it exceeded my expectations. I agree with you, Jade. I think there could have been more bodies. It doesn't have to necessarily be more gruesome, but I think if this trend had picked up, like the mother didn't, or the aunt, she didn't have to see all of the kills or find out about all the mm-hmm. kills or have it be right on her doorstep and have the police investigating her over every single one. She could have been going around killing people throughout the movie that, you know, they didn't really know about it at first, and then maybe they string them together. So I think there could have been a higher body count. I agree with that. But it definitely exceeded my expectations, and it was fun. And if you look at it, it's listed kind of as like horror/thriller/comedy, because there was a good comedic aspect as well. There was a few times in the movie where I specifically was laughing out loud. I was like, this is actually hilarious, and not just laughing at the movie, but laughing with the movie. So I give them a little bit of credit for that. There were definitely some cringy moments, and it could have used an R rating and been a lot more gory, and it would have been such a better movie because the doll was creepy enough. It was unbelievably creepy. The kills were kind of brutal, but you kind of didn't see a lot of it, but you just assumed what happened, right? So, by the way, spoiler-filled review, as always. But in the kill scene where she's spraying the neighbor with the toxic, the chemicals or whatever, like if that was an R-rated movie, you're watching skin peel from her face and all this kind of stuff. That would be a particularly gruesome and horrifying scene. And, you know, they had to skip some of that. So obviously to keep that PG-13 rating, but
it literally would have changed it from like a softcore slasher to an extreme horror. Right. That one scene.
I elevated horror.
One thing I'll say about that. So I went into it probably with even lower expectations than all of you. I expected nothing out of this movie for all the reasons you said. And I thought it looked silly. And I know it's got ties to Malignant. I don't know, Jade, how you feel about the movie Malignant. We're very divided on that movie here.
I know, it's very polarizing.
I thought it was one of the worst movies ever. And okay. Dave liked it a lot. So I went in with like real low expectations on it.
This is why I refuse to watch the movie, because then it's going to be like a divorced parent situation. I might have to pick between Rob and Dave, who I want to live with. There's absolutely no reason for me to move in with them, but I feel like if I watch that movie, I'm going to have to pick. I'm going to have to move in with you guys.
Yes, well, then I hope you like it, because please don't move in here. So
Dave doesn't even have a house right now. That's the only room in his house.
I know. So with it being a PG-13 slasher, I think in terms of the kills, they pushed it to the boundaries of that PG-13, specifically with the one kid in the forest with the ears. Now, that whole thing was gruesome. It's one of the most gruesome things I've ever seen. Just grabbing
he was the kid with the ears?
Yeah, just grabbing the ear and just like stretching it all the way out. Like,
it was actually brutal, yeah.
It was pretty brutal to see that particular thing. And then they followed it up with the dumbest fucking part of the entire movie, where she starts running on all fours and you're just like, what? Why is this a Transformers movie? What is happening right now?
She could have just ran fast.
Yeah, could have just run fast. He's super strong, right? Like,
it was meant to be like a creepy scene, and it was just goofy as hell. Again, I agree with you.
It was funny. I was laughing out loud because that you see it in the trailer too. So it's like, oh, this is where she's about to keel over and start hopping along.
Yeah, I feel like they were going for like a cheetah / crawling tarantula type thing. It just absolutely didn't work, and it didn't need to. If you think back to like Terminator 2, when you had like the the Terminator that like melted through walls and stuff, when he's just running super fast, that's all they had to do. Just have him run fast. They run faster than humans because they're made out of titanium. Yeah. And just have him run a little bit like a robot.
It's a robot.
Yeah. They're built to do this, right? Like, yeah, exactly. We've seen them happening in real life. This is going to be in the real world in about 3 years, and we're all going to die. So I'm glad we're getting this movie review out of the way right now before it happens. But
the only thing that would have been worse there is if like she had wheels that came out of like her feet and she just rolled really fast.
Just an Inspector Gadget robot all of a sudden.
Like rockets on the back.
Make sure to put her helmet on first, though. Like. Just
that actually would have been awesome.
Anything would have
been better than what they did in that scene.
Yeah.
That was so bad.
So one thing on the rating real quick, because this movie, one thing I did actually read about it was that this movie was shot as a rated R movie. And then last minute they decided to change it to PG-13. So they made cuts. They cut stuff out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a rated R director's cut version come out in the near future, which could be a game changer. Could be a really cool movie if you add in some of that gore. So I don't know why they made that just abysmal. I don't know why they do that. I mean, I do know why they do this. It's to put asses in seats, but it just sucks every time.
It makes sense for this movie, though, because I feel like you're marketing this sort of as like a first slasher movie for teenagers. Like, this is like
I mentioned this to Dave yesterday. This is like, this could be a good like intro to horror for his kids or whoever.
Yeah, just a way to like bring people in. Like, because if it's too scary, then you don't want to bring them further than this movie. And you want to be able to bring teenagers. Do teenagers go to the movies anymore like we used to when we were younger? Is that a thing still?
Yes.
I don't know. Do they? Yeah.
Yes. So. I just saw Puss in Boots for the second time in theaters this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So many teenagers there. It was fine because I'm happy to see people still going to the movies, but teenagers still go to the movies, I promise.
Right.
That's good.
So there you go. That it helps market it. It helps make it so that you can sell it. It fits for that general generation. Generation, that audience, everything. Now I had some fun with this movie. Here's my biggest problem with this entire movie. The rule that we established for Megan was that she was killing because the girl was her primary user and she was there to protect her primary user, right? And I feel like half the kills throughout the movie, I know she's evolving and she's becoming like self, you know, like protecting herself as well. But
self-aware, yeah.
But I think that you should have stuck with the premise that she was only killing to protect the little girl. Whatever the reasoning is, how messed up it is, it could be something super small.
But then we have less kills, and we already have so few kills in this.
Why? You can add reasons. They can be small reasons. That CEO, there's a million ways you could have added for the reason why he was quote unquote threatening the little girl. It didn't have to make like.
Oh yeah, maybe like she wanted to leave the.
Right.
Campaign. Maybe he threatened her for not wanting to be the spokesperson anymore. That could have worked. I think you're right about that.
Super easy ways to do this, right? And I think that's the way they should have stuck with it. The other big problem is we all knew that giant robot was coming back into play in the morning. It was like the worst.
Super predictable.
It was the worst foreshadowing of all time, right?
Yeah.
Like, of all time, you're like, you watch like, oh, so that's going to be the robot that they used to kill
Megan. I said it when it happened last night. I was like, that's coming back later in the movie.
Yeah,
I know that.
I literally had the conversation. So I had watched it first with the wife a few nights ago. And as soon as they panned across the robot, I'm like, that one's going to save the day. And she's like, you're probably right. Everything in this movie was unbelievable. There wasn't a single thing that surprised me. I think the only thing that surprised me was that his ear stretched so far in that forest scene. I was like, wow, it's more stretchy than I thought it would be. And probably more stretchy than it really would be.
But I was not expecting that kid to be so pliable.
Learn something new every day.
I think one of the glaring issues with this movie, and it's a giant negative for me, is it had no real identity. There's too many things going on. So is it a horror slasher? Is it a comedy? Or is it a movie that's supposed to tug at your heartstrings about with the tragedy? You know, are we talking about family values and, you know, how children deal with death is a pretty serious topic. And then to mix it in with the comedic aspect that they ran with and then the slasher, it was just too much going on. And I feel like you could have pulled it off with any two of those things, right? Not all three. All three, it's a mess.
And weirdly, the drama was some of the best stuff in the movie. That scene, where they're like doing the showcase to the board members, and she's in there and she starts crying, and Megan goes over and like talks to her. Actually, a really good scene for a movie all around, I thought. Like the way that they did that scene. But yeah, like maybe we get rid of some of the comedy. Maybe we don't have the giant robot fight at the end. It just
a little unnecessary. Dave brought this up as an issue with the movie too last night when we were watching it. Was that the girl who played Katie, Violet McGrath? She's the best actress in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's not even close. Or best actor in general in the movie. Like she's the best. And when you have a child actor as the best actor in your movie, it's cool because it's strong, but it's the whole movie's not going to be great because there really weren't that many good actors. I thought the girl who played the aunt, Allison Williams, I think she was fine. The girl who played Gemma. But there was a lot of really bad actors in the movie and it didn't go well. Ronnie Chan, who played David, CEO, was god awful in the movie.
Yeah.
Although he had the best line in the whole movie and it was quick. I had to have Dave rewind it because he didn't catch it right away. I don't know if you guys caught this line either, but it was when he's doing like the infomercial for Megan or whatever. Mm. And he's like, and they show the clip of Katie and she's talking about how her parents died. And he's like, Megan is great, is going to be the best toy for hundreds of thousands of kids out there, even ones who don't have dead parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like, dude, what a line.
I would say
he was god awful in the movie, though.
It might not even be a case of bad acting. I thought they did a really poor job fleshing out any characters. Like, they do this whole like little side plot where the guy's stealing the files, but like, for no reason.
Nothing happens
with it. Like, why didn't you have him like bringing it to another company? If you want to set up a sequel, they have the plans to build this doll now.
Oh, there you go. Maybe that's why they were doing it, but they did a really poor job of even trying to explain that. But, like, yeah, like who's he giving the files to? He just copied them.
They said he was just doing it just to see if he could do it. And it's just like, oh, okay. Right? Like, what are we doing there? Like, they just didn't give the actors anything other than the main two stars of the movie. Like, just there's no character development for any of them. Her two friends are real throwaway characters. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember their names from the movie. They didn't get a chance to shine at all. They had nothing to work with. It was real tough. And then
it wasn't for a lack of time either. I think this movie was too long.
I was just about to ask what the runtime was.
It was an hour 41.
Okay. So,
which is like 10, 15 minutes too long.
Yeah. For this kind of movie, I think, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably could have trimmed some of the beginning. Speaking of the beginning, I just want to throw out as people, I'm not exactly sure where you're from, Jade, in relation to snow. As people that deal with snow, you would never sit in the middle of the road and wait out a snowstorm. That is the incorrect way to do anything with snow. You don't just sit in the middle of the road.
Yeah, it's not even the fact that they could get snow plowed like they did. It's just like everyone's gonna hit you from all angles. Like you gotta get out of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just keep going.
Yeah.
Best thing for me is we live in Massachusetts. I drove a Mustang for years, and this was by far the worst car in the snow possible. Like it actually might have been the worst car just in general, but also in the snow, like rear wheel drive, just everything you don't drive in
Please
Massachusetts.
Don't sue us, Ford.
And, but because I drove that car for a couple of years in the snow, I have now become expert at driving in the snow. Cause when you drive the worst possible car in the snow, you learn how to do it. But yeah, never, never in a million years would you just put the car in park.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a whiteout storm. Let's just stop the car.
Let's just stop.
Yeah.
Let's just be right in the way for everyone.
let's just sit here. And what happened was exactly what would happen. You would just get absolutely mashed by a plow truck. So, yeah, I think they could have cut some of the opening of this movie to get it down a little bit. Were you guys sitting there, like, looking at the little girl, like, where do I know her from for, like, half the movie?
Haunting a Hill House.
I knew that from the beginning, from the trailers.
I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember right away. I'm like, I know her from something, and it's something I've watched about 17 times. So you think I would have picked it up because it's, like, my favorite horror thing in the last, you know, 5-6 years that's come out.
She's been in other stuff, too. I can't think of what else off the top of my head.
She was in a random car commercial. Didn't even have any lines. I'm just like, why is she back there? Why is she in the car? Fun fact.
Just waiting for a ghost to pop out or something. is there anything else you guys wanted to hit on in this movie particularly?
I just want to see Megan end up fighting Chucky one day because I know it's going to happen, and I'll be here for that. As much as I didn't really care about this movie afterward, I'll be seated for that.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. I'm not sure if Dave and Jesse have seen that remake where they actually made Chucky a robot. I thought when that movie originally came out, everyone was like, this would have been a fine movie if it wasn't a Chucky movie. Like, you're just, you're killing what the series is. And I feel like maybe Blumhouse was like, oh, if that's what you feel like, then we'll make that movie without Chucky. And that's kind of what they did here. And now people are still kind of like on the fence about it. Do you think without the Chucky name that remake is better than this movie?
That's hard to say, because I actually ended up enjoying that movie. And I think that movie did have an R rating. So again, more kills, more, a little bit more gruesome. And it's based on a character that I love. So I already had that kind of tie to it. I thought it was good for what it was. It's hard to say what it would be like if it didn't have the Child's Play name to it, but I still liked it. I think I haven't watched it since I think it released. Mm-hmm. So however many years ago now, but I think from what I remember, I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Megan.
Gotcha. So. Dave, did
0% chance that any Child's Play was not rated R.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's no, they would never. They would never.
Well, they're airing a TV show on, you know, USA Network with the original.
I've heard that's pretty good.
I've watched the first season. Actually, a lot of fun. If you like the original, like, two Child's Plays, you really like this. And for me, that Child's Play, I was in the camp that, like, if this was any other, you know, doll, this movie would have been great. It's just, it's like when they recast Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger. It's like, Robert Englund just is Freddy Krueger. Right. Brad Dourif is Chucky to me. And I love Mark Hamill, and that's who did the voice as, you know, the remake for Chucky. But just, like, switching from, let's be honest, the Chucky story is batshit insane. Souls going into dolls here and there, like, it makes zero sense. But it's kind of why I like it. It's just, like, it's that is what Child's Play is. So when they try to make it more real with the AI and it being, like, a robot-type situation, it just kind of fell a little flat in that aspect, but Aubrey Plaza was great in that movie. Mm-hmm. The kills were great in that movie. It was actually, like, a good movie if it wasn't Child's Play. So it's probably still a better movie than Megan. But yeah, like, I'm down. Let's get a Chucky versus Megan fight going.
Let's toss Annabelle in there too.
Yeah.
Do some I've only seen a couple of these verse movies, but are these, like, versus movies ever any good?
No, they're amazing.
They're fun.
I mean, I liked Freddy versus Jason.
Amazing.
Say what you will about that. I love Freddy versus Jason.
What movie? Alien versus Predator.
Alien versus Predator. I liked it. I don't care. I just, Godzilla versus Kong. Okay, I don't care.
It's fun,
I just
but it's not horror, right? It's more like action, right? Action, you want an action movie. So sure. I think what this movie needs, if it's going to continue, if there's going to be Megan 2, it needs the R rating, it needs the creepy factor. There was enough creepiness with this movie where I think it has potential. Again, this movie exceeded my expectations. I thought it was better. I found this movie to be, it just wasn't scary, but, like, there were moments where it really could have been, when you have just the look of just the doll just staring out the window and just kind of, like, the nothingness in her face. Like, there was potential for this movie to be really creepy. There just wasn't enough dark scenes, too much comedy, too many songs, you know. It was just...
All right, we missed one important scene. Why was she dancing in the hallway? Why are we doing this scene? That's literally why they did that. It is literally why they did that scene, right? Like, they did it because of TikTok. There's no other.
It made me laugh. I mean, at that point in the movie, I was like, this is goofy anyways. Just keep getting goofier.
It just was like, oh my God. Like, I don't know. I was just, like, floored.
I think you got to keep in mind that, because they had a few scenes like this. It wasn't just the dancing scene, but there was a couple, like, really just out of nowhere singing scenes where she's just singing Titanium to the girl when she's going to bed, right? Then there was another singing scene where just, like, at no moment where you're like, oh, that's sweet. You're like, this is kind of creepy and kind of stupid. But you got to remember that this thing is supposed to be a kid's toy, right? It's supposed to sing. It's supposed to do stupid dances. It's supposed to color pictures with you. By the way,
She used three markers to color that unbelievable portrait of that girl. That was nonsense.
Primary colors. That's all you need is the primary colors. You can make any color out of them.
Okay, I want to see you draw that portrait.
I am not an artist.
I like that every episode is devolving into Jesse's art takes on some level. Like, he's just hitting on different art things throughout our shows.
I'm really not, though. See, I'm not, because I don't know anything about art. But I can tell you that drawing that she made would have taken more than three colors.
That's fair. So I think we've actually established what the second movie does need to be. And as someone that doesn't like when movies randomly go this route, they need to make this a musical slasher for the second movie and just go completely bonkers with it. Just full on.
It worked for Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd was great.
Yeah. Yes, go that route. Like, just make it a complete slasher slash the stuff to do that together.
Slasher, I don't like slash that. Musical.
Yeah. You're doing great.
Yeah, we got there.
All right, Jade, you're the new host. Rob just had a stroke.
All right, so with all that being said, with all the dancing, with all the singing, with some of the good kills, some of the not good kills, story that's meh, let's get some scores here. Jade, as our guest, do you want to lead us off here?
Sure. For me, I'm going with what I rated it on Letterboxd, and I stick to those ratings out of five. I gave it a 2.5 out of five. I wouldn't say it's the worst movie I've ever seen, or the worst horror movie, or worst horror comedy I've ever seen, but it's certainly not fun enough for me to really care about, I think, again. Maybe. We'll see. Could change my mind, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Dave? A reasonable score. I have this at a 3.5. I had fun watching it. Obviously, it had a ton of stuff that I didn't like about it that I thought it had, you know, wrong with it. But I did enjoy it enough to give it a 3.5. And I think this makes a better sci-fi movie than it does a horror movie. And if they went a little bit more of the sci-fi angle, I think it could have got a higher score. But they went with the slasher with the PG-13. Have any of you guys seen Ex Machina?
Love that movie.
So good. It's A24. It's strictly sci-fi, not horror. But
I was thinking that the whole time you guys were talking about that. Exactly.
Yeah. Go watch.
And how scary that movie is minimal it is.
It almost feels like this would also be a good shorten it down to an hour and make it a Black Mirror episode deal, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. You'd have to skip a lot of the story, but you could.
I don't know if you'd have to skip a lot of the story. I think you could really establish it within an hour. Where are you at with this, Jesse?
I'm gonna go 2.9 with it. I did enjoy it, but it really lacked the scare factor. It did have a little bit of the creep factor, but not enough. Dude, have her do a kill right before she does that dance, and if she's doing that dance with blood all over her, all of a sudden it's terrifying and not stupid.
And that's rated R then. You can't do it.
I know, but it was so close.
Yeah.
Give her the black blood from Black Christmas. Whatever. Just put something. Just do that. Or please have her do that. Okay.
Don't ever try to pull anything from Black Christmas 2019. That's
obviously a joke. No, but okay. What they did to her though is they almost cut her face in half. They pulled out some of her hair. If they did the dancing scene after she looked like that and she looked creepy already, then it could work.
Oh yeah,
sort of
like she's malfunctioning and she goes into her like little dance thing. That could
The dance is a little messed up. Yeah,
the music's kind of altered.
All right, I gotta bump it down a little bit. We're gonna go from 2.9 down to 2.7 because a fucking glass of water caused her to malfunction at the end of the movie.
That's okay. Like you didn't, I forgot about that.
This doll is supposed to withstand like all these crazy elements. Like, what if the girl wants to take the doll swimming with her?
Yeah,
like you didn't. Building
you shouldn't take electronic swimming with you.
What if it rains? Like,
yeah.
Well,
exactly.
It's made, the doll's made for kids, and kids are gross and messy. So,
I like it.
Yeah, but our iPhone has better resistance than this, you know, $10,000 doll. Also, they were talking about how much it cost to build there. They were saying that it was over like $100,000, and then they're selling it for $10,000. That math doesn't check out. Where are we at with that math right now? Like, it didn't make any sense. I'm going to give it a 3.3. I don't think you should go out of your way to see this movie. I don't think you should go to the movie theater to see it. But I think if you're home on a Friday or Saturday night, it's on HBO Max or whatever it's streaming on, and you're with a you're with one or a couple other people, and you're like, eh, let's watch this. I haven't seen it. I think it's a fine movie to watch with somebody else. I wouldn't go out of my way, like, as soon as it drops to watch it, though. It's just one of those movies that if it's there, I would watch it. But yeah, I think it wasn't terrible. It could have been a little bit better. So I'll go with a 3.3. Do we have any closing thoughts on this movie, everybody?
I don't think so. I am surprised that you went 3.3. I thought you were going to go a lot lower.
Me?
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. It is the epitome of fine to me. Like, it's just like, it was there. I think I would have went lower if I didn't already have low expectations going into it.
That's how how I was.
So that's probably why I'm at a 3.3. If I rewatch it, I bet you I would bump it down to like a 2.4, 2.3 or something like that.
After the first time, then every other time you watch the movie, you're just looking for the things that are wrong with it, which you will find more than you thought there were. Jade, anything you want to plug, social media or your show?
You can find me at Twitter on Jade Rafalo, at Jade Rafalo. It's just my name. I also work with Agents of Fandom. It's just Agents Fandom on Twitter and then Agents of Fandom on all other social medias. We're working on getting more articles out. We're covering, one of our girls is covering The Last of Us. If you guys are watching that, she's covering it week by week. And that's kind of our big thing right now. But that's it. That's me. I'm just here to talk about movies and shows and have a good time.
Yeah, and I was on Agents of Fandom last week for the Ant-Man episode. That was a lot of fun with TJ and a bunch of other guys. So looking forward to the Ant-Man movie. Jade,
yes.
You are great. Anytime you want to come on, especially if you're sending me like, I need to talk about this movie with angry faces, I'm all for it. Like, anytime we can blast a movie.
I'll plug this last article that I just wrote. It's my 10 most anticipated horror movies that are supposed to come out this year. A couple of them, not sure if they will drop this year, but hopefully they will. So go check that out. Maybe we can talk about one of those another time.
Cool. Yeah, we'll throw
give us, a teaser. What's the number one that you're coming out?
So I didn't put them in a particular order. I just went with 10 movies that I had found that are coming out. But number one, that's my only one that's like ranked, is Bo is Afraid.
Yeah.
Coming out, A24, Ari Aster's third movie. I'm excited. Yep. And Joaquin Phoenix, I mean, come on.
I'm going into that blind. I only have seen the artwork for it. I haven't seen anything else on it. I don't want to see anything else on it.
I watched the trailer release, and it looks like it's going to hurt my head the entire time, and that's all I'm planning on watching before the release, so...
Nice. Yeah,
the jury's out on Ari Aster for me. I liked Hereditary and I hated Midsommar, so
I liked Midsommar.
I liked both.
Hereditary was a wild ride. Yeah,
but yeah, Hereditary is just
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All right, Jade, I'm going to throw a curveball and I'm going to ask you to rate a movie real quick. Black Christmas 2019.
I have never seen it.
Oh my God, dude.
Next time.
When you watch that movie, we don't have to do a show or anything. Just message me.
Right.
Tell me what you think about that movie. Because
you got
it is a very, you want to talk about a polarizing movie.
That movie
is overly polarizing.
It's polarizing.
That's true. It is kind of not polarizing. It is pretty much universally hated. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Well, for myself, for Dave, for Jesse, and for Jade, that's going to do it for this episode of Hometown Ghost Stories Movie Reviews. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.